then God comes along and says, and speaks his word to Jonah, and he says, Jonah, I want you to step out of your comfort zone. I want you to step out of what's comfortable for you, what you know, and I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, just to catch us up, who remembers how they described the great city of Nineveh? It was called the city of
blood.
Thank you. Well done.
Blood. The city of blood.
It was not a nice place to be. Not a safe place for a prophet of Israel to go and tell people to repent. So Jonah, instead of leaning into God's call, ran away from it to Tarshish. He went to the safe and the secure option. But the truth is, by playing it safe, or so he thought he was actually putting himself and others around him in danger. Remember last week? That what happened on the boat? Because of Jonah, all those sailors were in danger. Jonah himself was swallowed by a great... Thank you for not saying whale. It was a great fish. He was in danger too. And amongst all this time, and amongst God speaking to him, him running away, him putting other people's lives at risk, God was still up to something great. Friends, the call of Jonah is our call. God calls you and me to go to Nineveh. Jesus is very clear that we will go to all nations to make disciples of all peoples. Under Jesus, this is not an option. We have no option to play it safe. Let me grab my clicker here. Playing it safe is not an option. Not an option for us at all. We're not to sit around in our secure comfort zones and hang out with people just like us, all of who trust Jesus. The call of Jonah for every one of us is to step out of our circle of comfort into God's will and to go and help people to discover Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. But my hunch is most of us are pretty good at avoiding this. Most of us are pretty good. And our instinct, instead of stepping into this, is to step back or to step away. Or when things become a bit risky, we circle the wagons and we play the nice Christian game. You know the nice Christian game I'm talking about? I'm about to offend some of you probably. Oh, I've trusted Jesus my Lord and Saviour, and I come to church, and I sometimes read my Bible, and I'm generally I'm a good person and help others out, therefore I'm doing what Jesus really wants me to do. There is some truth in that. But there's also some lie in that. And we've soaked it up because we feel good. We feel safe. We feel secure. The truth is, if you play that game, then you are putting other people's lives at risk. Jesus was incredibly clear about this. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you're willing to risk your life, to lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. It gets even harder to his disciples. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things I command you to do? Ouch, Jesus. Jesus, I thought you were supposed to make us feel good all the time and just say nice things to us, what we want to hear, so that we are comfortable. A little bit later on in the Bible, this is not in the Gospels, but it's in the book of Revelation. And the imagery is Jesus saying this, and this disturbs me sometimes because I think about myself. In Revelation, the image is of Jesus saying to his church, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either hot or cold, but you are not. So I am going to, what, you out of my mouth? Spew, vomit you out of my mouth. Now, when did we hear something about something being vomited? Friends, Jesus is serious about this. And this is one of the topics that we're going to be talking about today that people don't like talking about. We're going to get to that. It's like money and this is what people don't like talking about. Friends, we need to break the lie that numbs our senses and seems that safe and comfortable is where we need to be. The call of Jonah is our call, and playing it safe is not an option. We are to be a witness. And in the end, that's what Jonah ended up doing. Begrudgingly, I think. He didn't really want to be a witness, did he? He was forced into it at one stage, and then when all these bad things happened, he went and did it, but he didn't do it really well. We heard a little bit earlier in chapter 3 that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, went to Nineveh, and he went through the city. And this is how he proclaimed, this is how he was a witness. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Thrown. That was his message. Now, that was God's message for Jonah to give. Can I ask you, if someone came up to you and said that to you, how would you respond? A genuine question, anyone? Who are you? Who are you? It's a good question. It's not probably the best way that we kind of understand witnessing to happen, is it? So today, I am deliberately stepping out of the story because the story leads us here. The book of Jonah leads us here. We're deliberately stepping out and we're going to look at what it means to be a witness and how we do that. Very practically today. And one of the reasons I say this is because NCLS data and my conversation with so many people here say we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We don't feel like we're prepared. Or even, we don't have any friends that aren't Christians. So today we're going to look at these things. And we're going to look at a number of things that help us to be witnesses for Jesus. So, at the end of this, today, if you're on our email list, you'll receive an email with all these sort of questions that we normally have, but some of the illustrations and examples that I'm using today, you will have them. So even though you're taking notes, everybody will get them. Okay, first thing, playing it safe is not an option. Be a witness. What's the first thing we need to do? Listen to and obey the Holy Spirit. Jonah knew how to listen to the Holy Spirit. He understood the voice of God. He heard him time and time again. But what didn't he do? He didn't obey. One of the beautiful things I find about the book of Jonah is that the book of Jonah helps us to learn what not to do as much as what to do. We need to listen and obey. Listening to the Holy Spirit is like exercising a muscle. The more you obey the prompts of the Holy Spirit, and the more you hear, the more you'll hear the Holy Spirit, I think anyway. And the more you disobey the prompts, sometimes the fuzzier it gets. And I've talked to people like this. I used to hear from God. I don't anymore. I used to hear God speak to me through His Word or through the whisper of the Spirit. I don't hear so much anymore. Now, often when I talk about, I often talk about listening to the Holy Spirit. And each time I do, I feel like I need to demystify and despookify some of it. When we talk about listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not generally talking about some out-of-worldly experience, some strange voice or vision, although that does happen for some people. But I'd say 98% of the time, and that is not an actual figure, I've made that up, 98% of the time, when we listen to the Holy Spirit or hear the prompt of the Holy Spirit, an encouragement, a thought, a sense, it is from within us. The truth is the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us and speaks with us. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit, quite often we're not listening to something that sounds different to our own voice, are we? We're listening to the voice of God in and through our mind, our senses. Sometimes the thought or senses is, don't go there, it's not good, don't do that. And some other times it's, go there, do that, phone a friend, pray for them, offer them some help. And every time we take the risk and step into these prompts, we become stronger in God and more secure in His purposes. And my experience is when I don't step into those promptings, I sort of feel like I'm taking a step back. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you even now. Every one of us. As I said, many of us, many people have said, I used to hear the Spirit, I don't anymore. It's become fuzzy or muddled. Can I suggest we spend just a moment praying about that? Let's stop and pray. Lord, you speak to us in so many ways. Through your written word, through your spoken word, through nature, through each other, through a small, still voice, through a pounding heart. So many different ways, God. Lord, would you forgive us when we don't really listen to you? Lord, would you forgive us when we have listened to you but not obeyed you? Help us to take courage, Lord. And help us to continue to cast our ear, our eyes, all that we are to you, that we may follow you more fully in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first key, listen to and obey the Holy Spirit. Now, I almost didn't put this next one in, because I kind of went, well, if we're listening and obeying, then we don't need to worry about this next one. But I'll put it anyway. Actually step into the opportunities God creates. When I look at Jonah, even when he was not listening to God, as he's running away, even as he was not obeying, even when he was going the opposite direction, what happened? There were still opportunities that came up to share about God, wasn't there? I love Jonah. He is the ultimate anti-hero, isn't he? When you look at the book, the whole book, it's only once or twice this man of God, this prophet of God, gets it right or is honourable. From go to woe, you could almost describe him as a disobedient, self-centred, grumpy old man. Does anybody know some of those people? If you're sitting next to one now, don't put your hand up. I'm pretty sure my kids think I'm a bit that way sometimes. But that could be any one of us on any day, couldn't it? It could be any one of us on any day. And that's the point. And this is actually good news. Because you don't have to have it all together to be a witness for Jesus. Even a man like Jonah is used by God to bring ocean-worn sailors to their knees. To bring a whole city, a battle-hardened city to repentance. Therefore, God can use every single one of us, no matter where we are on our walk with Jesus. Whether we're grumpy or kind, self-centered or generous, pursuing God or running away, he can and does use each one of us as a witness for him. We don't have to have everything sorted out. And I'm going to say something again. I love the grace that you guys give me. I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, we just have to get ourselves right with God and know a bit more before we share Jesus. That is an absolute load of rot, people. Don't say that to me. Say it behind my back to each other. Don't say it to me, though. Because it's just not true. Because God can use you wherever you are to be his witness. And to me, that's awesome news. I remember a very low time in my walk with Christ. Back 2006, 2007, I'd been in ministry for 3 or so years and I basically dipped into burnout. I was brought on to do this role and then I got out of these roles. And I just could not do it all. And I was not sensing God at all. I did not feel like God was present. I was not hearing from God. I was doing some of the right things. I was still reading scripture. I was still going to church. I was still part of a life group. I was praying, but nothing. And I'll never forget, there's a young guy by the name of Mario, and we had this conversation with him. And he points back to the time in 2006, 2007, when I wasn't feeling a whole lot, I was still helping to lead a church. Ministers aren't supposed to say these things, right? But we're all human, every one of us, and we all go through these times. And he points back to a conversation that we had when I was in the midst of probably the most downtime, and it wasn't just it was affecting everything in my life. And he points to that as one of the times that helped him decide to follow Jesus. God can and will use us no matter where we are on our walk, because God thinks all people are important. God loves this world so much. His heart is so much for people to know him that he will even use us in spite of ourselves. So step into it. Can I just, side note, I'm not suggesting that you keep on going disobeying God if you're in one of those seasons. I think we're a better witness when we actually are sort of following Jesus and doing the things he's asked us to do. But hear this, no matter where you are, God can and will use you, because God is up to something great. Yeah? Always. God is up to something great. Next step. Okay. Be and share the good news. Looking at Jonah, I'm not sure I would say he was being good news. Would you? I mean, he goes, he runs away from the people he's supposed to go to. When he gets on the boat, he goes to the bottom of the ship, doesn't care that other people's lives are going to hell, and he falls asleep. Again, we learn what not to do. See, unlike Jonah, you and I are called to actually look, to see what others may not see. A little bit like blue care. Unlike Jonah, we are called to be in genuine relationships with people beyond the church who others may not see. People who do not know God. People who are broken. People who are hurting. People who are angry. As well as people who are happy and people who are kind. Unlike Jonah, we cannot fall asleep with what's going on around us. We can't live with this, I'm safe and secure and going to heaven one day, and I'm enjoying my safe church, thank you very much. Rather, we are to be eyes wide open, not ignoring the storms in the world around us, not ignoring what's happening, but seeking to be good news to other people. Okay, really quick exercise with the people around you. What does it mean for you to be good news to somebody? What might that look like, to be good news? You've got a minute to share with each other. What does it look like to be good news? All right. Can I have your attention back this way, please? All right, serious question. There's good discussion there. Who would like to share just one way that they can be good news? You need to probably have a loud voice and turn to the majority of people. How can you be good news? Sure, yeah, great. Absolutely. Any other ideas? Listening, being patient and kind, absolutely. Yep. 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 So Claire said, not Helen, Claire said... Being Good News, providing the marriage course for people who need that. That's being there for someone. That, absolutely. Excellent. We're going to get to that in a moment. Excellent. Being good news is a challenge for us most of the time, isn't it? Because we have so many things that we need to do. I wonder if somewhere in our psyche, somewhere in our heart, somewhere in the world in which we live, we need to begin to have this ministry of availability for those around us and those in need. The first thing we're to do is to be and share God's good news. It was St. Francis, preach the gospel at all times and occasionally use words. How can I be good news? How can I be a friend? How can I be a servant? How can I be a generous person with my life? That's the first thing. And this is where most of us get stuck on, because it's almost safe. Preach the gospel at all times, occasionally use words, and this is where we come undone, isn't it? I have no doubt that in the life of this church, and most churches actually, that people are being good news. But along with being good news, we are called to speak good news. And Jonah got this right, didn't he? He did it twice. We heard the way he shared God's word with them, and we kind of go, But in chapter 2, he also said to the sailors, they said, who are you? What's your life about? What's this all going on? What's happening here? Why are you doing this? So what's happening? And he says, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. That's part of his testimony of who he is. He would have known these words from his early life as a Jew. This statement is almost one of the creedal statements of Israel. He knew it. He had recited it again and again. It was part and parcel of who he was. So when the pressure was on, he gave an answer he had practiced, that he knew about himself. I want to suggest that we are to share God's good news, then we have to be able to prepare and practice so when the opportunity arises, we are ready. We've talked about this before here at Chapel Hill. 2014, I think it was. Or was it 2015? We did just walk across the room. Who was here then? Hands up, please. Nice and high so I can see them. Okay. Who am I going to ask to share their testimony? Who was here again? I knew you'd do that. We laugh. But the book of Jonah is all about hearts being on display. If our heart genuinely is for making disciples, if our heart genuinely is for seeking and helping those discover the love, grace and life found in Jesus, then an easy part for us to play is to prepare and practice our testimony. And this is simply done. It takes less than 2 minutes to say. You might not have 5, 10 minutes, half an hour to speak it, but less than two. Let me give you mine. It's my testimony. I grew up in a church. Grew up at Logan Island Church down in Springwood. My parents took me to church every week. Even when my dad didn't always go in high school, they still took me. I remember going on a camp when I was 15. It's at the Sunshine Ranch, which is just out sort of past Ipswich. Anyone been to the Sunshine Ranch? Okay, it's where all the Christians used to go in their camps, obviously. And went out there, and I'll never forget, I had my mate Todd was with me, and basically, on this night, for whatever reason, we heard this idea that I am accepted by God. And I reckon I must have heard that 1,000 times before. But I heard it that night, because you see, when I went to high school, I went in a different catchment area to where everybody else went. So I had to make new friends. And that was really hard. And I just wanted to be accepted. And so what happened is I became somebody that I wasn't. And on this night when I was 15 at the Sunshine Ranch, I heard that God loves you and accepts you for the way you are. He's died for your sins. He's forgiven you. And that night I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. Because I went, I don't have to try to make anyone like me anymore. I'm accepted by Him. Now, does that mean I never struggle with acceptance now? I do. I try not to. But when push comes to shove, when things get tough, what sits deep within my life is that I am a child of God. Absolutely loved. Absolutely forgiven. Absolutely accepted. And that's my testimony. Anyone time it? 1 minute, 52 seconds. I don't know. I'm just saying that. That's a testimony. It doesn't say anything about drugs. It doesn't say anything about sex. It doesn't say anything about all these sorts of things that we kind of go, oh, they've got the cool stories. This is your testimony. This is who you are. And you can prepare and practice that. So when the opportunity arises, when someone says, so, what's this? Why are you a Christian? What's this all about for you? You're ready to go. Again, there's some easy, there's no one way of doing this, but one of the ways, always like before I encountered Jesus, what happened when I encountered Jesus, what's life been like since then? Three handles, makes it simple. You will receive this information on how to do that during this week. This afternoon, you'll receive the, if you're on our email list anyway, you'll receive all those sorts of things. You don't need to go into the gory details of every single thing. The first thing is to share God's good news. We have to share our testimony. The second thing to prepare, because playing it safe isn't an option, is to maybe have some simple illustrations of the gospel up your sleeve. This guy called Mario, we were at the coffee club one day with his friend Sue. Sue was a Christian. He'd been exploring. He's a medicine student. And we talked about life and all those sorts of things. And he said, I just don't, help me to understand what it means to be, you know, this way. What's this whole thing about becoming a, these are my words now, but becoming a follower of Jesus. And so I shared something that I learned a long time ago from Bill Hybels. Now, no illustration does everything justice, okay? There's no one right answer with this. But what we must do is help people to understand that which we are representing. So, I grabbed a napkin at the coffee club and I did this. And it's easy enough for any of us to do. I said, let me help you to understand the gospel as I sort of, one of the ways to understand the gospel. God loves everyone. God loves all people. There's not one person on this earth that God does not love. But what happens is, and you know, Murray, you're probably like this, the same as me, I think about myself more than others. In fact, the Bible calls that sin. When I'm the most important thing in this world, that's what it's like. And so this thing called sin separates us from God. And I said, no one likes to hear this, but just work with me here as I explain what this is about. Unfortunately, this thing called sin, we understand that it leads to death. And it's not just this physical death, it's this separation from God. It's like a spiritual death. Mara, you're a spiritual guy, you know, you have this understanding of spirituality. Could you imagine if that was just not connected to anything? I said, but what many of us do, they say, I want to be in a relationship with God. So what I do to be in a relationship with God is I do good things. I go and I help people. And that's a really good thing to do. Or, you know, some people say, I go to church and I pray. That's a really good thing to do, but that doesn't help you to be in a relationship with God. That's you trying to do something. Some other people say, I go to church, pray, and I tithe. That's an excellent thing to do. But that does not get you into a relationship with God. It's all about what God has done for us. And so all these things fall short of us getting into a relationship with God. So what do we do? What does God do? God loves us. Remember, it looks bleak. Is there any way? Is there any hope for us? God sent Jesus Christ. You would have heard the story of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. You would have heard the story of Easter, that God in Christ was reconciling to himself, that God came down as Jesus. He lived, he died, and he rose again. And in doing that, because he didn't sin, he defeated death and gave us the capacity to be in a relationship with Jesus again, with God again. And said, people try to get themselves across there all the time, but it's only by trusting in Jesus that we can do that. And then what I do next is what I always do. I say, are there any questions? And quite often there's not. Sometimes there are. And then I say, where would you place yourself on this diagram? And I hand the pen to them and I shut up. And I do not say another word until they mark or speak. And sometimes that felt like an eternity. Sometimes it felt like half an hour, but it was probably only 30 seconds. And they might say, well, Glenn, you know, I reckon I'm probably here. I've been trying to do all this stuff, and I believe in a God. I just, you know. And I ask the question, what would stop you from trusting in Jesus? Perhaps you already started to do that anyway. That's one of the ways to present the gospel. And that takes some practice. And it's not perfect. And it's not everything. But it helps people to understand that that God and us, there is this issue of sin. And that Jesus Christ has dealt with that. So it's no longer an issue for them to be in relationship with God. That's one example. I've used that I don't know how many times. You find any piece of paper you can. And you draw it. Three times, this has helped someone to say, yes, you know what, I want to follow Jesus. There's another example. Who's heard of Do and Done? Do and Done. Excellent. Did one of those two people who put up their hand want to explain it, or? No? Come on, Grant, give it a go. Why not? Nice loud voice, mate.
One significant thing about Jesus that is quite different is that you'll notice in each of the religions it talks about doing things to endeavour to reach a nirvana or heaven or wherever it might be. The beautiful thing with Jesus is, in our relationship with him, it is what he has done on the cross for us. So we need to trust in that. There's nothing we can do to get to heaven. We can't reach up to God. It is actually God in Jesus reaching down to us.
Yep.
In terms of what he's done.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, mate. I can do all these things, or I can just trust in what Jesus has done. That's another example. There's another one. There's a whole lot of examples. I'm sure some of you have got different ways of sharing. You know, what if you do? What if you don't? Jesus is this, Jesus is that. There's a moral ladder. There's a whole lot of different things. The point of it is this. You and I need to be prepared to help people to understand what the gospel message is. Because it's in hearing the gospel message that people will turn to Jesus. Paul says, believe in your mouth, believe in your heart, confess in your... Sorry. I get my words mixed up. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord and you are saved. The pointy end of the gospel, that Jesus lived, he died, he rose again and was seen. This is the pointy end of things. How are you able to explain that to someone who has not been in church world? In the end, that is your responsibility. More than anything else when it comes to this whole thing, you need to be prepared. We talk about growing as a church, and I'm happy for us to grow as a church. But surely, if at the heart of what we're about, we don't want to see people come to faith in Jesus, then every single one of us has to have these things up our sleeves. And they're not hard to prepare. The hard thing is to step into the opportunity that God presents to us. Last thing, as I do have a few Bible verses up my sleeve, and you can pick whichever ones you like that are relevant for the person you're speaking with. You don't have to know the verse, the chapter, verse and book. You just have to know the general gist of it. You don't have to get it word for word. Don't worry about that. Now, there's a reason I put these things this way. Because if you're anything like me, some of the people you come across have no absolute interest in God and don't believe there actually is a God. My atheist friends would say that fairy thing that you guys talk about that's somewhere in the sky. And of course I say, so you believe in fairies, do you? No, I don't. But so that's a reality. I wonder, people who do not believe there's a God at all, what good as a starting point is it going to be saying, well, the Bible says this, when they don't even believe the Bible is a book of anything? Starting with our being is where we start. Our testimony, that's a part of any friendship. It's a part of who I am. That's an easy thing to share. It can't be refuted. And not only that, it's about sharing who you are with somebody else. Illustration about the gospel happens when people might be seeking what it means. Or someone's on a spiritual journey in some way, shape or form. People from other religions, you can share it with them as well. Your testimony, simple illustrations, and a few Bible verses. So, step into the opportunities that God presents to you. Let me ask, are you listening to the Holy Spirit for those opportunities when they are presented? Here's the thing. Who's going to uni next week? Who's going to school next week? Who's going to work next week? Who's doing something next week with other people? Okay. You have a way of sharing something this week. When someone says to you, what did you do on the weekend? Well, Sunday morning I went to church and my minister shared this illustration with me. Can I show you what it's about? Because I've got to practice it. Can you give me some feedback on it? That's your opening line. Thank you, Robbie. I have learnt, and it's true for me, that this doesn't always come naturally or easily. Taking that next step when the opportunity is presented is difficult. But if Jonah is telling us anything, it's that God is doing something great, even if Jonah isn't. And when you step into partnering with what God is doing, who knows what can happen? I've learned over the years to step into the awkward and see what God does. Jonah runs from God, causes problems for others, and has the opportunity to share his testimony. Jonah begrudgingly goes to Nineveh, has to hear again from God. Has anyone ever heard one thing from God that you should do and then go, I'm not doing it, and then heard it again? Hopefully this morning you're hearing it again. This is what happens. And he goes. And God does something. Friends, my prayer is that you will step into and take the risk when God presents you opportunity this week. And it doesn't mean that someone has to come to faith in Jesus. It means that you are being faithful in listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying God and stepping into it and then allowing God to do what only God can do. Next week, if you've got a story about that, I'd love you to share it. As little or as big as it is. Let's pray. loving God, we... Lord, if anyone's a little bit like me, this is not easy. We worry about what other people think. We worry about what other people say. We worry if we're good enough, or if we're going to have all the answers. And in doing so, Lord, we sometimes forget that you are up to something great. Lord, help us to listen and to obey and to step into those times where there's an opportunity for us to share the faith that we have and the hope that we have. Lord, help us to not sit on our hands and not think about how to prepare our testimony, or not to think about how to share your gospel. Help us to be and share these things. Lord, give us your heart. A heart not just that we might have a lovely, loving community where we do the church thing, but that you would help us to be the church that goes to make disciples in our schools, in our unis, in our workplace, in our small groups, in our sporting groups, in our community groups. That you would help us to be witnesses in Chapel Hill and Kenmore and St. Lucia and Brisbane City, Lord. That many people may come to know, trust, and live in the fullness of a secure relationship with you. Change our hearts, O God. Make them more like yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.